Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach, and Shana Tova. Today is Tishrei 1, the beginning of a new year, Monday, and this has fallen on Monday, the 26th of September, this year, 2022. We're reading from the Legends of the Jews, Section 1, part 1, and from verse 67, we're reading about what was created on the sixth day of the week. And we're going to continue from where we stopped in the previous audio. Hallelujah. God of wonders beyond all galaxy, you are holy. Holy, the universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah, Lord of heaven. Amen in Yahushua's name. Let's continue. The serpent too is other than it was at first. Before the fall of man, it was the cleverest of all animals created, and in form it resembled man closely. It stood upright and was of extraordinary size. Afterward, it lost the mental advantages it had possessed as compared with other animals, and it degenerated physically too. It was deprived of its feet so that it could not pursue other animals and kill them. The mole and the frog had to be made harmless in similar ways. The former, which is the mole, has no eyes, else it were irresistible. And the frog has no teeth, else no animal in the water were sure of its life. Verse 68. While the cunning of the serpent wrought its own undoing, the cunning of the fox stood him in good stead in many an embarrassing situation. After Adam had committed the sin of disobedience, Yah delivered the whole of the animal world into the power of the angel of death. And he ordered him to cast one pair of each kind into the water. He and Leviathan together thus have dominion over all that has life. When the angel of death was in the act of executing divine command upon the fox, he began to weep bitterly. The angel of death asked him the reason of his tears, and the fox replied that he was mourning the sad fate of his friend. At the same time, he pointed to the figure of a fox in the sea, which was nothing but his own reflection. So he tricked the angel of death, basically. The angel of death persuaded that a representative of the fox family had been cast into the water. Let him go free. See, he tricked the angel of death into thinking that another fox has already been cast into the water. The fox told his trick to the cat, and she in turn played it on the angel of death. So it happened that neither cats nor foxes are represented in the water, while other animals are. That's very interesting, because there's something called catfish. Okay, from verse 69, when Leviathan passed the animals in review and missing the fox was Mr. The Fox was informed of the sly way in which he had eluded his authority. He dispatched great and powerful fish on the errand of enticing the truant into the water. The fox, walking along the shore, espied the large number of fish, and he exclaimed, "How happy he who may always satisfy his hunger with the flesh of such as these." The fish told him if he would but follow them, his appetite could easily be appeased. At the same time, they appointed him that a great honor awaited him. Leviathan, they said, was at death's door, and he had commissioned them to install the fox as his successor. They were ready to carry him on their backs, so that he had no need to fear the water, and thus they would convey him to the throne, which stood upon a huge rock. The fox yielded to these persuasions and descended into the water. Presently, an uncomfortable feeling took possession of him. He began to suspect that the tables were turned. He was being made game of instead of making game of others as usual. He urged the fish to tell him the truth, and they admitted that they had been sent out to secure his person for Leviathan, who wanted his heart, that he might become as knowing as the fox, whose wisdom he had heard many extol. The fox said reproachfully, "Why did you not tell me the truth at once? Then I could have brought my heart along with me for King Leviathan, who would have showered honors upon me. As it is, you will surely suffer punishment for bringing me without my heart." "The foxes, you see," he continued, "do not carry their hearts around with them. They keep them in a safe place, and when they have need of them, they fetch them at once thence." The fish quickly swam to shore. Sorry, I lost what I was reading. I'm trying to find it. The fish quickly swam to shore and landed the fox, so that he might go for his heart. No sooner did he feel dry land under his feet than he began to jump and shout. And when they urged him to go in search of his heart and follow them, he said, "Oh, ye fools, could I have followed you into the water if I had my heart, if I had not had my heart with me? Or exists there a creature able to go abroad without his heart?" The fish replied, come, thou art fooling us." Whereupon the fox, "O ye fools, if I could play a trick on the angel of death, how much easier was it to make game of you?" So they had to return their errand undone. And Leviathan could not but confirm the taunting judgment of the fox. In every truth, the fox is wise of heart, and ye are fools. That's very interesting that, you know, we've just read about the foxes. Anyway, I'm going to stop there. We're going to continue. Now, the next section is titled, "All Praises Be Unto the King of Creation, the Lord of the World, Hallelujah." But I feel led to skip it and move on to section 1, part 2, which starts off with the formation of man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, but you know what? Let's just read it. "All things praise to the Lord," from verse 70. "Whatever you are created has value." That is the way this section begins. It's very important to understand, because at some point he made King David understand that, you know, things were created for a purpose. So let's keep reading. Whatever Yah created has value. Whatever Yah created has value. This is in quotation marks. Even the animals and the insects that seem useless and noxious at first sight have a vocation to fulfill. The snail trailing a moist streak after it as it crawls and so using up its vitality serves as a remedy for boils. Wow. So it says, let me read it again because it's easier to explain that way. The snail trailing a moist streak after it as it crawls and so using up its vitality serves as a remedy for boils. You see the boils on the body. The sting of a hornet is healed by the housefly crushed and applied to the wound. Oh. Wow, so we have to be in search of houseflies. Kill it, crush it, and then you rub it on the wound. The gnat, G-N-A-T, these are things that, you know, were plagues in Egypt. The gnat, so G-N-A-T, feeble creature, taking in food but never secreting it, is a specific against the poison of a viper. Wow. And this venomous reptile itself cures eruptions, while the lizard is the antidote to the scorpion. To the scorpion bite. Wow. So when a scorpion bites you, the remedy is the antidote of a lizard. Well, sorry, yeah. The remedy is from the lizard. And the viper, which is a reptile, cures eruptions from the body. Okay, that's interesting. Not only do all creatures serve man and contribute to his comfort, but also Yah teaches us through the beasts of the earth and makes us wise through the fowls of the heaven. He endowed many animals with admirable moral qualities as a pattern for man. If the Torah had not been revealed to us, we might have learnt regard for the decencies of life from the cat, who covers her excrement with the earth. Wow. Regard for the property of others from the ants, who never encroach upon one another's stores, and regard for the decorous conduct from the cock, who, when he desires to unite with the hen, promises to buy her a cloak long enough to reach to the ground. Wow. And when the hen reminds him of his promise, he shakes his comb and says, "May I be deprived of my comb if I do not buy it when I have the means." That's interesting. The grasshopper also has a lesson to teach man. All the summer through it sings until its belly bursts and death claims it. Though it knows the fate that awaits it, yet it sings on. So man should do his duty towards Yah, no matter what the consequences. Wow, that's a major lesson regarding martyrdom. The stork should be taken. We're not supposed to be afraid of death. The stork should be taken as a model in two respects. He guards the purity of his family life zealously, and toward his fellows he is compassionate and merciful. Even the frog can be the teacher of man. By the side of the water there lives a species of animals which subsist of aquatic creatures alone. When the frog notices that one of them is hungry, he goes to it of his own accord and offers himself as food, thus fulfilling the injunction, If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. That is interesting. So frogs do have a caring nature within them. All right, let's move on. Verse 72. The whole of creation was called into existence by Yah unto his glory. And each creature has its own hymn of praise wherewith to extol the Creator. Heaven and earth, paradise and hell, desert and field, rivers and seas, all have their own way of paying homage to Yah. The hymn of the earth is, from the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, glory to the righteous. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, glory to the righteous. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, glory to the righteous. Hallelujah. In Yahushua's name, amen. The sea exclaims, above the voices of many waters, the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Above the voices of the many waters, the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Above the voices of many waters, the mighty breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Verse 73. Also the celestial bodies and the elements proclaim the praise of their Creator, the sun, the moon and the stars, the clouds and the winds, lightning and dew. And the sun says, the sun and moon stood still in their habitation at the light of thine arrows as they went, at the shining of thy glittering spear. And the stars sing, thou art the Lord, even thou alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all things that were thereon, the seas and all that is in them, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Then verse 74, every plant furthermore has a song of praise, the fruit tree sings, then shall all the trees of the wood sing for joy before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. And the ears of grain on the fields sing. The pastures are covered with flocks. The valleys are also covered with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Hallelujah. Verse 75. Great among singers of praise are the birds, and greatest among them is the cock. When Yah at midnight goes to the pious in paradise, all the trees therein break out into adoration, and their songs awaken the cock, who begins in turn to praise Yah. Seven times he crows, each time reciting a verse. Oh, wow. The first verse is, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Yahweh strong and mighty. The Lord Yahweh mighty in battle. That is the first verse the cock sings. This is amazing. My goodness me. The second verse. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The third verse goes like this. Arise, ye righteous, and occupy yourselves with the Torah, that your reward may be abundant in the world hereafter. This is amazing. So every time we hear the cock crowing, is crowing in the morning, this is what he is actually saying. Oh my goodness, this is amazing, brethren. Hallelujah, praise be unto Yah Most High. The fourth verse is, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. I have waited for thy Yahushua, O Lord. The fifth says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? Oh my goodness. So it is an alarm clock for us. Okay, let me read the fifth again. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? The sixth verse says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Wow, these are all scriptures in the Hebrew, in the Bible. For example, from the book of Proverbs. I know the first three verses, the first two verses are from Psalms 24. So it starts off with praising God, and then the next one is directed at the human beings on earth. All right, and the seventh verse, sung by the Corcorans, it is time to work for the Lord, for they have made void thy law. It is time to work for the Lord, for they have made void thy law. It is time to work for the Lord, for they have made void thy law. Let's continue. Nor do the other animals praise Yah, unless than the birds. By the way, I just wanted us to note that the cock, the sound of the cock, at the first two verses that the cock sings out are from Psalm 24, and the rest are from the other scriptures within the holy biblical scriptures. All right, let's read from verse 76. Actually, I was reading from verse 77 before. Let's read from verse 76. The song of the vulture is, I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. The same verse with which the bird will in no time to come announce the advent of the Messiah. Hallelujah. The only difference being that when he heralds the Messiah, he will sit upon the ground and sing his verse, while at all other times he is seated elsewhere when he sings it. Wow, this is amazing. So the vulture is going to participate in heralding the coming of the Messiah, the advent of the Messiah. Hallelujah, in Yahushua HaMashiach's name. Amen. Let's carry on. Verse 77. Nor do the other animals praise Yah less than the birds. Even the beasts of prey give forth adoration. The lion says, the Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, he shall shout loud. He shall do mightily against his enemies. And the fox exhorts unto justice with the words, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by injustice, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not his hire. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by injustice, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not his hire. Verse 78, quickly. Yea, the dumb fishes know how to proclaim the praise of their Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, they say. The God of glory thundereth, even the Lord, upon many waters. While the frog exclaims, blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever.
Amen. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name. Amen. One more verse left in this section. I'll do it in the next audio. Shabbat Shalom. Lashana Tova. Hag Sameach.